This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The transfer window has slammed shut, and Town, helpfully, can now just focus on the League Two. So bring on the final third of the season. This is the Blue Monday podcast. Hello, and thank you for joining us here at the Blue Monday podcast, discussing the Town up or down since 2015. I'm Richard Woodward, and this is the pre-match show, usually available live on a Thursday night, but this time around, it's a pre-record, and joining me to cast his expert eye over, well, he's the Northern correspondent, so over Northern side, Preston North End, Seb Brown. How you doing, mate? We should come clean, so we're not live, but we're pre-recording. We are pre-recording with the transfer window not actually slammed shut, but some good business has just happened. Probably worth disclaimer. Go and check out the show with Craig and Joe if you want more detailed discussion of the transfer business. But we're a little bit happy because we've actually got a deal done right at the last minute. Well, not the last minute, the 11th hour. No, not even that. Go on, talk.
Brilliant. What an intro that was. Thanks for that. Yeah, no, it's we are recording at 10 to 8 on the Thursday night. Transfer window is another 3.5 hours to go before you will consign it to bed for another, what, 6 months or so till June. To be fair, yeah, in the past I've given you abuse for this, but I'm coming around to your way of thinking this time. I think because we haven't really been that involved in it for so long. I know we did great work last January, but it was all done by the final week, wasn't it? We did it quite early then. I think it's a lot more stressful when your kind of season is riding on it. And at one point today, I did kind of sit back and think, I wish we were one of those TWTD understands there will be a quiet last day of the window at Portman Road. But yeah, it's nearly finished. We've just signed Kiefer Moore. He's just returned. So like we say, make sure you go and check out Joe and Craig's instant reaction to that, which went live last night. And yeah, we finally got the final piece of the jigsaw, and we will see what happens now as the league form ramps back up again.
Yeah, we'll talk about whether how the jigsaw pieces will fit together for Preston later on as well. And yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I enjoy any part of the transfer window. I would happily bring back, make deals throughout the season until some like March time or end of February. I just find the whole thing stupidly tedious. Case in point, everyone's bricking it at about 4 o'clock this on Thursday afternoon when a journalist goes, "Oh, Cardiff have matched Ipswich's offer for more," and everyone's bricking it. It's like, it turned out that was absolute nonsense or way off the mark, but everyone's starting to brick it. I just hate all the hearsay and nonsense. So let's just talk about football. Let's start with ITFC women before we get into the men. Portsmouth again, this doubleheader with Portsmouth. A really quick opportunity to bounce back from a really harsh defeat in the League Cup. Town, much the better team, second half particularly, hit the post, hit the bar, should have probably won it in normal time, and then Portsmouth hit a worldie in extra time, pretty early in extra time. One of those really frustrating ones where you kind of hope if they were going to do that, they did it in normal time, so we could have gone home a little bit earlier. But hey-ho, we played through the half an hour, and sadly, Town didn't get the goal to come back and take its penalties or maybe even win it. So yeah, looking for revenge, and Pompey obviously top of the league on a stonking run, frankly. But if Town have any hope of sneaking into the promotion race at the last. Then they need to win on Saturday, on Sunday, sorry. So, yeah, big game. Head down to the AGL, as we've spoken to Joe and Natasha Thomas as well. Joe Sheehan, Natasha Thomas. Fans make a huge difference. So, please, if you've not got to a game yet, do check it out. 2 p.m. In the AGL Arena with Felix Stowe, and I will be in attendance with me drum. And hopefully at that point, Lucy O'Brien will be announced as January's Player of the Month. She was one of the four nominees there as well, so we're very proud of her for that. But yeah, big game Sunday, Seb. Let's talk about a big game on... Go on, do you want to say something about...
Just quickly, I know obviously they lost last weekend in the League Cup against them. Do you think in some ways that's it's never a good thing to lose a football match? Do you think they'll have learned lessons, though, and be more... I know you said they lost to a worldie, but do you think there were things they could learn from that game to take into this one? It could have been a useful exercise rather than play them, you know, having not faced them for a period of time.
I think it's a massive confidence booster, because the first goal that we conceded was from it was kind of like Hladky moment out of the back kind of thing, and the ball's intercepted by the striker and it's tapped in. So both goals were kind of mitigating circumstances. There's not much you can do about a 30-yarder apart from to press the player a little bit better. But the first goal we conceded, you know, was us being pressed quite high and we didn't make the right choices. So I think we'll be ready for that high press. And therefore, if you don't concede those kind of goals, and you know that you can score, admittedly it was a penalty for us, I think stranger things have happened. We must have had it in watching the men's team, where you kind of play a team in quick succession and you kind of assume, oh, well, the pattern's going to be exactly the same, and then the result is different. So I'm hopeful they can get a win. And it'd be great to keep the league action going, because, you know, it's been a really positive season, then a few little blips and pieces like that, and suddenly it's looking a bit daunting. But you beat Portsmouth and suddenly you drag them back into the mix potentially. So
we've got games in hand, haven't we, over most of the sides?
Not games in hand, but we're still kind of, a few defeats have meant that we're a bit adrift. So we need to beat the teams around us. I think we play Portsmouth away again. I might be wrong on that one, but we definitely play Hashtag. We definitely play MK and Rugby twice. So there's games against teams up the top there that can bring us back in contention. So keeping everything crossed. And keeping everything crossed for Saturday as well, Seb, because it's a difficult one to call, this one. I mean, on paper, Preston started like a house on fire, and it's not going well since we played them, really, is it?
It's not, no. We sat here back in October. It was the Blue Monday live event day, wasn't it? We had the live show after the 4-2 victory at Port Monroe, didn't we? Was that that game?
Yeah, I think it was.
It was
like a lifetime ago, that. Yeah.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, and that was a top-of-the-table clash. You know, Preston they'd started the season really strongly. I think they had 20 points from the first 10 games of the season. And I do remember you and me sitting on this show, and we were discussing their numbers, and we were saying, are these numbers sustainable, or are this lot Ipswich Town 2017-2018 for the first few games, where you have one shot a game and it ends up going in? And I think we've kind of been proven right with the subsequent form. We'll discuss what's gone on there, but it's no longer a top of the table clash. You know, they've been awful run of form, very, very patchy, and they now find themselves solidly in mid-table. The fans aren't overly happy. There seems to be, every now and again, every couple of months, there'll be a bit of to and fro from the managers to the fans, and it just really reminds me of us in kind of the last days of Mick, you know, where you start well and then there's a little bit of sniping on both sides, and it doesn't take much to turn the crowd up there, I don't think, given how things are going at the moment. And I think we can go into Saturday pretty confident on this one, personally. Don't clip that up for me.
We'll do predictions. You know, the normal routine here, folks. Even though we're not live, we'll do the predictions. And you know, there is a positive sense there, and for good reason. Now we'll talk about the state of play and the form in a second. I guess from the outside, and if Preston fans are watching this, very much welcome, and apologies in advance if we go wrong. But what is the reasonable expectations of Preston? I always think, you know, it's a team that is working against, you know, parachute teams, is always quite frugal but quite sensible in terms of its budgeting, and you know, they've been up there at the top of the table and weren't able to sustain it, which isn't a surprise. But no recruitment as of yet, unless something as dramatic is about to happen whilst we're recording. I guess what do their fans expect apart from maybe mid-table, Seb? Is it harsh to be asking that question? I mean, we all aspire for top six, don't we? But not all of us can have it.
I don't think so, personally. I think they're kind of us from 2016 onwards. You know, they're always going to finish somewhere between, what, 12th and 16th, probably, unless they have a bad year. That's probably where they'll end up this year. And I think that's kind of, and I was doing some kind of looking at detail earlier, and it's taken from the internet. Some of these figures will not be accurate, but you can kind of get an idea of clubs' rough wage bills, can't you? And I know they won't be 100% accurate, but they'll be there or thereabouts. And apparently their wage bill is 17th in the league. So, you know, the adage is you finish where your wage bill kind of states you are. So every time they finish above them, they're slightly overpunching. And every time they finish below them, they're underachieving. So given where they are, I guess the trouble is that good start maybe might have kind of, you know, it raised fans' expectations. And as the form has gone on, we'll discuss the form in a second, it's not been good at all. And then you factor in the fact that there's no January business and you kind of have this sniping with the manager. I don't think it's not a happy home life, shall we say.
I was queuing you up for that. And we'll talk about the manager as well, because,
yeah,
you know, a bright prospect manager when at Plymouth, but yeah, maybe, as I said, people are getting bored a little bit as well. And the style of play also important in that conversation too. Let's come back to that later. Talk to me about where they find themselves in the league table and particularly the form, Seb.
So they're currently 12th in the table with 39 points. So worth pointing out, like we just said, they had 20 points when they came to Portman Road back in October, and they're now on 39 points. So yeah, 20 points from the first 10 games and 19 from the subsequent, maths is rubbish, X number of games since that point. They've only won 11 of the games so far this season, which is a 38% win ratio, drawn 6 and lost 12. They have a goal difference of minus 12. And this is where the form really starts to look poor. They are 20th for their form in the last five matches. They've had three defeats, which was Leeds, Sunderland and a Sheffield Wednesday. Day, albeit they were a bit unlucky against Leeds. It was a 94th minute penalty, wasn't it, from Joel Pirro for a handball, annoyingly, from our point of view. They've had one win against Bristol City. Will Keane, I think, got a couple of goals. And they never had a draw last time out away at Millwall. Then you look at the kind of the longer run of fixtures, and for the last 10 games, their form is 17th in the division with only 11 points from those 10 games. So it's a side that hasn't got going at all, and they've not been able to arrest this slump. I remember it was the last game before an international break when they came to Portman Road, wasn't it? And we kind of thought they're on an awful run of form. I think they'd lost two or three on the bounce at that point. And we were thinking they might kind of try and shut up shop to try and get to the break and then regroup and then look to, you know, come back after the international shutdown more refreshed, looking to give it a go again. But they haven't been able to address this slide at all. And that's why they've dropped out from, I think they were third or fourth maybe when they came to Portman Road. And now they're down in 12th and they show no signs of being able to arrest this slump, because they'll win one and then they'll go winless for four or five games. You know, it's just the way the form's been since October, really.
And you, if you're going to challenge for the top six, you need to rely on your home form being strong, and it's pretty average, isn't it, in terms of the home form? Not bad, but not perfect.
It's not where you need it to be, though, is it? Like you say, you know, you need your home form to be really strong, especially if you've got designs on gate crashing kind of sixth. It's the 10th best in the division, 23 points from the 14 games played at Deepdale, minus 4 goal difference. Their last five at home is 2 wins. We just mentioned Bristol City. And of course, they did us a favour on Boxing Day by beating Leeds when the goalie, Muselia, got sent off, didn't he? I'm sure he did something and he got himself sent off, and they managed to beat Leeds. That was great for us. But since then, three defeats, Sheffield Wednesday, Watford and QPR. So the home form isn't amazing. I think, like I said earlier, I'd never be cocky going into a game, but given the way things are up there, and also we've already won at Deepdale this season, kind of technically, I think we can go there.
I heard you talk about this before, and were you on with Ben or something the other week? You said we smashed them. I remember us holding on for dear life for a 2-1.
No, we smashed them to pieces for 85 minutes.
Yeah, we did. They hit the post or something.
They got an equaliser, and then I think Clacky, or it would have been Walton or Clacky, I can't remember, the goalie made a really good save. Then they hit the woodwork, and yeah, it was a 2-1 battering where 2-1 absolutely flatters the home side. We tore them to pieces.
I watched it on iFollow. I remember it being tight towards the end. I thought we were great first half.
You need to be there, you know, true fans.
See it with your eyes, Rich. I did, with my YouTube account, had a look at the goals against Millwall, and not great in terms of defensive for that Millwall goal, but obviously came back into it. Talk to us about the draw last time out.
Well, like me, do you think they're susceptible to high balls into the boxes? Because every highlight seemed to be a cross from Millwall or a set piece from Millwall, and Preston just didn't seem to be able to deal with it. We'll discuss their back line and how I think they're pretty big, the three centre-halves that will likely play on Saturday, but I thought they were a real mess to high balls into the box. We finished 1-1 away to Millwall, which I guess isn't a bad result for them. 43% possession, 11 shots, 4 on target, only created 2 big chances, but the overriding thing I took away from the, albeit very brief, 3 to 4 minute highlights I saw was that I thought they were really poor with dealing with high balls to the box, which having just signed, what is he? Is Kiefer Moore 6'7"?
6'5".
Is that all he is? 6'5". Okay.
Is that all?
Well, I'm 6'4", so, you know, he's just like me.
Just like you.
Just like me. I kind of feel, yeah,
with Giacomo, yeah?
With, all right. Wow. It's a bit harsh. Giacomo's for... Start with him. Have a go.
It's tall. It's tall as well. It's
Giacomo not... definitely isn't. Giacomo's definitely for fat people. He's definitely
I don't think so. I think they've rebranded, haven't they? I think it's tall.
Have
and
they?
Yeah.
They've it's rebranded. Either or. You fool.
It's not a bit of both. It's either or.
Right, okay. Thanks, mate. I think they're definitely susceptible to high balls into the box, which having Leif Davis on one side, Wes Burns on the other, and Kiefer Moore in attack, that could prove quite fruitful on the weekend.
Yeah, I thought, Fleming, it was who scored the goal for Millwall. We know he's great in the air anyway, but he wasn't particularly well looked after. I think the bigger issue for the goal, though, Seb, was the fact that Preston had a 3v2 and Millwall still got the cross in. I forget who it was who pinged it in, but it was a cutback from a winger. I should know this. Let me just see if I can check it. I think it's Norton Cuffey down the right-hand side who basically held off 2 Preston defenders and then just lost it back to his colleague who whipped it in for Fleming. And it was more the fact that they didn't stop the cross or didn't seem to stop Norton Cuffey from holding the ball up and waiting for them to get in position. It was probably more of a concern for me, I think. But yeah, I totally agree with you that it feels like that might be a valid route to go for us. Remind us briefly about last season. We've obviously talked about Preston already this season, but yeah, mid-table last season, wasn't it? And probably
they finished. Yeah, they finished where they are at the moment. They finished 12th with 63 points, missed out on the playoffs by 6 points. I remember doing the research for the October show and we were quite shocked by their lack of goals last season, weren't we? They scored less goals than 2 of the sides that got relegated last year in Reading and Blackpool. Okay, I think Reading had a points deduction, but even so. And they ended the season really poorly. It was 4 defeats and a draw in the last 5 games. So I remember thinking the goal scoring was an issue. And as we discussed in September with their, I know a lot of people aren't fond of XG and XGA, but it does kind of give you an idea of the chance creation and the quality of chances that sides will kind of create on a match basis. And we remember saying that their goal scoring concerns were a real worry in October. They weren't sustainable back then, and last season kind of proves that, and the body of work since the October game at Portman Road proves it even more.
Let's talk about Ryan Lowe then. We mentioned him already. I guess I don't really know what his philosophy is, and I think we'll talk about the tactics that he's deploying at the moment, but spoiler alert, there's a bit of mix and match, isn't there, in terms of the strategies. Is that maybe a factor here in the Preston fans don't really know what he stands for at Plymouth? I think it was definitely attacking, wasn't it? And I think obviously it's been built on since. But yeah, I don't really know what he stands for, and yeah, fairly average results, isn't it?
It is, yeah. He joined from Plymouth in December 2021, so about a few weeks before McKenna takes over at Portman Road, that kind of time. He's only won 40 of the 107 games in charge, which is a 37% win ratio. That's 1.37 points per game, which keeps you up over the course of a season, but isn't exactly very exciting, is it? We know him from his time at Plymouth and his time at Bury. He moved from Bury when they unfortunately went under. Took Stephen Schumacher with him, obviously, to Plymouth, and then gets the Preston job, and Schumacher replaces him at Plymouth. And they've had this underlying tension now for, I think it's coming up 18 months. That's why I mentioned earlier, it does kind of remind me of those throwbacks to Mick, you know, where every now and again, regardless of how results were going or how performances were, there'd be a little snipe on either side and it would cause a load of, you know, fallout on social media and stuff. And he claims he was the victim of disgusting abuse back in February 2023 after a defeat to Bristol City. Triple substitutions have been booed with chants of "you don't know what you're doing." He kind of did this rallying call to fans in December. So we mentioned the 10-game recent run, only 11 points from the last 10 games. In December, he kind of did this rallying call to the fans, and it was all like, you know, we have to be together, etc. And then more recent than that, he's come out with this weird line, which did remind me, do you remember when Mick said, "I won't take advice off football fans in a pub," or whatever it was, when people, I think, were questioning Scoose or Douglas? Ryan Lowe came out and said this recently. He said, "If you're sitting here telling me there's an ex-pro who's had all the badges and managed 300 to 400 league games who wants to ask about the identity, No problem. What I can't have is someone who probably doesn't know an identity and just wants kick rush football or no risk football. So I'm not having a go. Whoever has asked, I'm just saying if they want to come with the credentials and bring it to the party, we will look at it. And I think if you're making statements like that, then I'm not entirely sure he's long for this world in terms of the Preston position. I wouldn't be surprised if they continue this kind of form for the rest of the season, muddle through, finish somewhere, like we said, between 12th and 16th, and a parting of the ways is announced in the summer, because it's almost at the point now, like with Mick, where you just can't go back, can you? You know, things have been said on both sides, and it seems to me that it gets past the point of no return, and all parties are best off mutual consenting, and they look to go in a different direction, which I think is probably what will happen in the summer, bar a absolute transformation for the last third of the season.
Yeah, I think you're right there, and reading that statement, like those quotes, it's like when you're given, you know, management training, and this is how you give feedback to your staff. What you don't say is good things, but because people just focus on the bit that comes afterwards, don't they? The kind of shit. Well,
every manager in the world knows the term shit sandwich, don't they? Yeah. So, you know, you think it'd be really, really basic, but for whatever reason, he's adopting a different approach. I just see an emoji come up with a tick?
Yeah, I forgot to announce it at the start. So I finally took the time to create the Seb sweepstake or Seb bingo. And right. I don't think you said, I think you said came out and, but didn't say the come out and said, but I put up a tick for come out and said. Also, do you want to do this now?
No, just keep doing it throughout the show. How many are there? What is it, half a dozen?
At the moment, there is six.
Okay.
One of all five of them are sayings, and one of them is a situation. So, and okay. I do it out of love and affection to you, by the way. It's
do
not,
you though? Do you?
It's not. I just enjoy you, and you know, your mannerisms. Talk to me about the history in the fixture and who's got the upper hand, if anyone has.
No one has the upper hand. It's very even. It's 14 Ipswich wins, 11 draws between the two, and 14 Preston wins. So somebody will, potentially not. It could be a draw, I guess. But yeah, hopefully we'll take the advantage.
No thanks for that.
Come 5 p.m. on Saturday. Yeah, very evenly matched. Our last match, as we've said, was the 4-2 victory at Portman Road back in October. Chaplin Williams with his Tirico-esque goal, the best right back in the division, thinking Harry Clark isn't going to get any game time this season. Broadhead and Caden Jackson with the goals. The last game at Deepdale, apart from the 2-1 where we smashed them to pieces in July, whenever it was, you and me were there. Do you remember the 4-0 defeat on Good shocking. Friday? It was awful, wasn't it? A week after the relegation had been
food
confirmed.
Voucher. And couldn't get any food with it.
Did we?
I think we got a food voucher. Like, well done, you've travelled stupid amount of miles on a Good Friday. Right. And I think they'd all sold out by the time we got to the ground. So we basically had, like, I don't know, back a pack of skips or something. I'm not sure. It
sounds wasn't about that right great. For that season. Yeah, sounds about right for that season. Our last victory there was February 2018. It was the infamous Mustafa Carriol. I was there. The Mustafa Carriol, Lionel Messi, 45 minutes. I'm not entirely sure we saw him play much after that. He got substituted at halftime with the trots, didn't he? and I'm not entirely sure we really ever saw him again. But certainly for that half, he was unplayable, a phrase that I know Ben loves. And I will give you the choice. Do you want a lineup quiz from the 4-0 defeat on Good Friday in 2019, or do you want the lineup quiz from the victory in February 2018? So the latter days of Mick's reign or the after relegation Lambert reign? What would you prefer? I'll give you the choice.
Let's do the one where I was there, and let's see how much I can remember of it, which is not going to be much. Okay. Yeah, the 4-0. So,
well, normally we have a goal scorer, so normally you get one or two, but you're completely going in blind here. So it's a 4-3-3 formation, according to where I got the information from, BBC Football. So see if that helps.
I'm trying to think who was in goal at that point. Was it Gherkin? No. Was Bart still around at that point?
Bart was the Bart's keeper.
Back in. So Lambert wasn't that stupid. Pennington was around, I think, at that point, was he?
Didn't play.
No. Callum Connolly, was he around, or was that the season before? I'm going to struggle here, I think.
Yeah, that was the
Chambers would have been there.
Chambo was there, yeah.
Knudsen,
two young academy prospects at fullback.
Right, really?
Well, not young. They'd made a few appearances at this point, but...
Oh, I'm going to really struggle with this one, actually. And the chat is going to be... People listening are going to be fuming and shouting at their cars. You need to give me more clues than that.
Alongside Chambers was a player who was mutually consented, I think, from Fleetwood. Never got
Josh
going
Earl?
Here. Tried to fight a fan at full time in Charlton away. Yeah, there you go. So Chambers and Nciala were the two centre backs. As I say, left back and right back were two academy prospects, probably made their debuts two or three seasons before, but never really amounted to much. One, I think, is playing non league now. run like a chicken.
Oh, Miles Kenlock.
He's the left back. Yeah, the right back.
T-Rex,
that was it. Yeah, the right back. Josh Emmanuel.
Oh, okay. Who's actually had a pretty decent career post Ipswich.
Did he move to the States, did I?
I think he had a really serious injury, didn't he, I think?
Right, okay.
Around Hull, yeah.
I think you said Skuse. I think you said him earlier. So you've got one of the three midfielders. Two more central midfielders. One playing for our rivals this season.
I was judging there.
Judge was, yes, he was playing left wing, according to this, which sounds about right for Lambert, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry, you were giving me a clue for the other central midfielders.
One is playing for one of our rivals in this three-way shootout on loan from a Premier League side.
Oh, no.
Flynn Downs.
Okay.
The other one never really fulfilled his promise. He's currently at Lincoln. I think he's still there.
Oh, Teddy.
Teddy Bishop, yeah. So you've got the central striker and you've got the right winger. You won't get the right winger, so I'll tell you. It was Idris El Mazouni, randomly.
I'm not entirely sure
the BBC formation is entirely accurate. So that just leaves the central striker, who is still at the club and who might be the central striker on Saturday.
Caden Jackson.
It was Caden. I remember he hit the bar, didn't he, in that game, I think. The one chance we had, he absolutely smashed it and it hit the bar, and we kind of thought...
And you're telling me that team lost 4-0 to Preston, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's,
yeah, shocking, isn't it?
Shock, surprise. You get what you pay for.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's talk about Preston's personnel then. And as we said, there was kind of one of these weird, like, every Italian team is doing football manager scouting and finding good players in the championship. Preston were potentially subject to one of those interests, but hasn't really materialised, has it?
No, Captain Alan Brown. He's the club captain. He was linked to the move to Serie A. I can't pronounce the side.
Salernitana, wasn't it?
That's the one. Yeah, easy for you to say. But as of 10 past...
he didn't even attempt it, so I think that...
As of 10 past 8 on Thursday night, he hasn't moved, and Ryan Lowe came out and said he doesn't expect any more movement before the window closes. He's out of contract, apparently, in the summer, so I guess the feeling was if it was a decent offer, they may have accepted it. But as of the moment, no business in and no business out. Unfortunately for Mullet, Will Keane will not be joining. We've signed much better players.
There was a lot of chat about him being the first goal scorer, but I guess it doesn't matter because we like to come from behind, don't we? But that was with a view to maybe Will Keane being in there. But never mind Mullet. He's 31 now, so that ship has probably sailed.
Mullet's way older than 31.
But Will Keane, it's the flat cap that kind of ages him a bit, isn't it? We mentioned the like pick and mix tactics at the moment. I mean, probably fair to say definitely become more direct in the last few months. But formation-wise, Seb, it's a bit of a tricky one to call.
Of a manager trying to come across something, trying to find something that kind of works. They've used 9 different formations so far this season, which I think kind of sums up their patchy form and their real inconsistency. It's been a 3-5-2 for the last 2 games, so... if we assume that's kind of what they're going to go with. One of those was Leeds, so I guess they have used it against sides, you know, higher in the division. It's been a back three with wing backs and two up front. They've gone more direct, so they are the fifth most direct side in the league. Only Rotherham, Sheffield Wednesday, Birmingham and Huddersfield get the ball forward quicker. They average 71 long balls per game at home, which is the second highest in the division. And a lot of these stats we're about to discuss now, I don't know what you think about this, a lot of these stats are almost relegation kind of play stats in terms of where they sit in the league, and some of them are real key metrics. So possession is the fourth lowest in the division with 45%. Passing accuracy is the third lowest, 73%. 10 shots taken is the second fewest in the league. A lot of these are, if I was a Preston fan, I think I'd have alarm bells here, because we live in an age now, obviously, of, you know, real data and real analytics, and it's very easy for fans now to get, you know, real insight to the way sides are playing. And if this was us and we had all these stats and we were sitting 12th, I would think to myself, well, hang on a minute, this isn't sustainable, because the numbers, the numbers will eventually start to even themselves out and this will catch up with us. And yes, okay, some things we are decent at. They are top for aerial duels. They are fourth for successful tackles per match, third for interceptions, fifth for clearances. The kind of hard working stuff they're pretty good at. But the key stuff, keeping the ball, passing it, shooting, creating chances, they are sort of bottom four, five sides in the league. So if I was a Preston fan, I'd really have alarm bells ringing at that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, totally right. Yeah. And, you know, the argument on the high work stuff, the interceptions, for example, is because they don't have the ball. You have to intercept it back because the other team is bossing in possession and you need to claim it back. So, but yeah, shots in the opposition box being third fewest, definitely alarm bells there. I mean, quality chances as well, Seb. You mentioned XG. You know, XG's not great. Big chances, not great either. And I guess when you're struggling as well, and teams are bossing it, maybe in possession-wise, you're likely to give away a few fouls as well. And they're not great for that either, are they?
No, the dirty Northern, yes. They've averaged
13. You're one of them. You can't.
I thought I was Welsh. You always tell me I'm Welsh.
So. Hey, have you noticed that I'm wearing my red Blue Monday hoodie, by the way, in honour of the fact
that... Is that for Keith Amore or for me?
Third of our squad is now Welsh, you know.
It's so good, isn't it? Yeah, great though. Yeah. We need another 10 who's Welsh. Then we've got an entire kind of front four attacking...
Maybe
Brennan Johnson. Go sign Brennan Johnson, then we can make the, yeah, the puzzle complete.
Bring Lee Evans back in, yeah. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. XG wise, I mean, their XG at the moment is only 26. They've scored more than that, but the XG is, I think it's the third lowest in the division, as is only 34 big chances created. So it's not a side that create quality chances. It's not a side, well, they are overperforming, sorry, they're overperforming their XG at the moment, and all this stuff I think is going to catch up with them at some point. The numbers, if they're that poor for that long, eventually you will get found out. And I think, when we said the mutual consenting parting of the ways in the summer, I think if they don't do that and it kind of stays of the season, they could be in a bit of trouble next year unless they can make some real smart recruitment decisions in the summer.
Yeah, before we move away from the stats, you were going to call them a bunch of dirty Northern bastards, weren't you?
I was, yeah. 77 yellows overall, 40 of which have come at Deepdale, which is the highest for any home team, and they average 13 fouls per match, which is the third highest. So if you like your booker, you're betting on a Saturday, then maybe go for one for cards, because they are pretty, pretty dirty. Who'd have thought it for a Northern team?
Hey, come on now. Don't making stereotypes like that. Let's talk about the key players. I guess let's deal with him quickly so we can move on. Will Keane's top scorer, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got 9 goals and 2 assists, and he's still not good enough to play for us.
One player that I do like is Liam Miller, on loan from Basel. Yeah.
Yeah, on loan from Basel. He's kind of been playing down the left. So in this new formation, he's kind of almost been shunted back a little bit into a left wing back role, but he's their top creator with 5 assists and 3 goals. Mads Frogja Jensen plays as the number 10, or the slightly more advanced 8 in the central midfield. He's got 3 goals and 3 assists so far this season. Dwayne Holmes was signed from Huddersfield to bring a bit of creativity in the summer. 3 goals, 4 assists. He's been a bench option in recent weeks. Ben Whiteman has signed a new deal. They signed him from Doncaster. He signed a new long-term deal this week, or last week, I think it was. He'll be the defensive screen. As I mentioned earlier, surprising given how kind of susceptible they looked to big crosses, to high balls into the box. They've got some big old boys in the centre half positions. They've got Andrew Hughes, who's 6'1", Jordan Story, 6'1", and Liam Lindsay, 6'2". So it's a bit of land of the giants at the back. Will that affect the number 9 we play on the weekend? We'll discuss that in a moment. And Freddie Woodman, ex-Newcastle, is the goalkeeper. 65% save ratio, is the fourth lowest in the league. Only kept 4 clean sheets all season, and his goals prevented stat is minor, or nearly as good as minus 5. five. So, yeah, not a solid base behind those three centre halves.
Well, Liam Miller, as much as I like him, he was the guy clattered by Brandon Williams, wasn't he, in that kind of memeable challenge in the second half against Preston, wasn't it, at Portman Road. Dyke Cornell still around, you can still find him. He played against
Leeds, didn't he? He was in goal. The handball, the last minute handball, Dyke Cornell, I think, was the keeper. So, yeah, what a weird career. Not good enough for us. Didn't he go to Peterborough as a backup? And then he started a few games of the Championship for Preston. So, yeah, you can still find him. He was Welsh as well.
There you go.
We need an all-time Welsh 11 for Ipswich Town. Oh, we'll do this at some point.
Yeah, it's going to be massive, I can imagine. Any more final thoughts on Preston before we start talking about us?
No.
I think we've done pretty well at half an hour in. I think pay attention to the possession, pay attention to the hard working interceptions, tackles and fouls. Be wary of former forwards, whether we like them or not. And watch out for, I think, Liam Miller out wide. That would be my pointers for folk. Let's do some bits and pieces of business before we talk about Ipswich. As always, we're brought to you in partnership with The Ground. Obviously, it's an away weekend, but nevertheless, if you're based in Ipswich and need somewhere to go for a nice bit of food or a pint during the week, then head to the Greyhound, and then obviously ahead of West Brom, head back to the Greyhound for pre-match. There'll be breakfast baps as there were for the game last Saturday, which I'm not going to talk about.
You got off lightly. I had to go on a Maidstone podcast on Monday night.
I got to see it with my actual eyes. To your point about Preston, I had to watch it. I saw the iceberg at the 75th minute like we all did. So, I was very magnanimous. I saw two Maidstone fans as I left the ground and I congratulated them. It's been a long time since I've done that. So, I'll hold your hands up. And we've retweeted Seb's appearance with Maidstone captain Gavin Hoyt on the Stones Age podcast with our mate Steve. I thought you were brilliant, by the way. I thought you played that spot on. You've got to hold your hands up. You've got to
blow yourself. I had to be magnanimous. When they didn't tell me the captain was coming on until I joined the Zoom recording, and suddenly it was like, oh, we've got Gavin Hoyt, the captain who played against you on Saturday, joining the chat. I thought, right, brilliant, great. So, I held my hands up, and they were a great bunch of lads. And A weird game, which we never have to talk about ever again now.
We don't. Merch store, if you want a Welsh red Blue Monday hoodie, head to the merch store. Telegram, now the transfer chat is done. It's going to be a much more calm and rational place. The links for all of that, including our shows, with the flagship coming up on Sunday, as usual at 8 p.m. with Mikey, Craig and Seb. We've also got some stuff. We're going to have a chat with Gab Sutton next week. We're going to review our early season predictions and give them a bit of a refresh and get Gab's view on all things Championship as well. So that will be out Wednesday. Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk. Everything you need that I've just talked about is listed there. And similarly, we've got a not listed, one thing that isn't listed is our promotion with NordVPN. There's a link in the description if you're listening on podcast and watching on YouTube. There's a Blue Monday subscriber discount if you go to nordvpn.com/Blue Monday. And doing so, we get a nice referral bonus as well. So support us. If you need to make a virtual trip abroad for whatever reason, or you just want to be more secure when you're browsing the interweb, then head to Nord and give us some support as well. There's a 30-day money back guarantee if you change your mind as well. So all good there. And as I said, join us on Sunday for the flagship show. Our mates at Chorley FC also wanted us, if you're listening this on the way up and you still haven't found your pre-match destination, Chorley FC have got loads of stuff going on. The postcode for your sat nav. Do you want me to do the bill, the kind of the alphabet, Seb, the proper alphabet, if people are listening?
Yeah, go on.
So it's Papa Romeo 7, 3 Delta. I think it's uniform for you, isn't it? Uniform?
I thought it was unicorn.
No,
your sounds it's more. Not like unicorn. Yeah, your sounds more. Yeah,
yeah. It's a princess. roundabout 3-7. No, PR7 3DU. It's just off the M6. So you can need to kind of come off at junction 27 and then hoot it up the A49 into Chorley. And it's, they've got 11 a.m. I think they open up. They've got a social club there. The Paul Mariner Lounge. There's a Paul Mariner shirt up on the wall. Food available, live Premier League football. I think the official supporters coaches may be going there, or some supporters coaches going there. And there's also a raffle on the day. The Chorley FC striker's wife has got a cancer diagnosis, and so they're doing everything they can to raise money to support her and the family. So every penny raised goes to that cause. So fantastic to get involved in that too. But yeah, if you're heading looking for somewhere to head to, Chorley FC on Saturday. Let's talk about Ipswich, Seb. And probably the big debate is probably around the players that have come in January, really, isn't it? And I'm thinking the strikers, the two strikers, and for me, the man of the match, although it's a bit of a oxymoron when you're talking about a defeat to a non-league team, but I thought Gianmarie Sarmiento was the pick for us last Saturday. Would you start any of them?
Yeah, I'd start Sarmiento for sure. I think he looked bright when he came on against Leicester. Did McKenna not hint that he would have started the Leicester game, but it suggests he had a knock, I think, quite close to the game in training. Ooh, so presumably that's why he didn't start that one. So yeah, I'd have Sarmiento in from the start. I think he's looked really good, really positive. The way... Oh, you got your hand up. Go on.
Ahead of who, sorry?
Broadhead.
Yeah. Sadly,
I'd have Sarmiento on the left, Chaplin in the middle, and Burns on the right. I love the way Sarmiento can carry the ball up the pitch. He's a bag of tricks. He's strong, isn't he? He's hard to knock off the ball. He's got that moment of magic he can produce. Yeah, loves to get a shot off. So for me, that's a bit of a no-brainer. Broadhead just hasn't been able to get this kind of slump of form out the way. And we all know he'll come good again. You know, what's the saying? Form is temporary, class is permanent. We know how good he is. He just needs a... I really thought the Norwich goal would really set him up on a bit of a run, but he kind of matched the deflation of the result, didn't he? That's the problem.
If that's the winning game too, didn't he? He kind of needed a couple of bites of the cherry to get the goal in the first place. So it's kind of like, I've got the goal, but I'm probably in my mind thinking about the one-on-one that I should have scored and all that kind of stuff. There's always...
Yeah, but also he's been, you know, Stoke for the last half an hour, he's thrown into the number nine role, Wimbledon number nine role, Maidstone number nine role. It's not really his game, is it? You know, I know he's done a job there for us, but he's just not physical enough for me or athletic enough to play that position. So that's kind of gone against him as well recently. So I have no doubts he will come good again at some point in the second half of the season. But for now, I'll be playing Sarmiento in his position. And then I guess the big talking point is the number nine. Jackson's done really well. Obviously, didn't feature against Maidstone at all. Led the line really well against Sunderland. Got his goal. Pressed well, I thought, against Leicester. But we now have these two new signings. What's the Iraqi guy's name? Because you struggled a bit, didn't you, on the Wednesday show?
I did fluff it at the start. I hadn't read it enough, but it's Ali Al.
You got a little emoji for that? Tick.
Not for me, but I can, if you want, I can tick it for myself. There you go. Yeah, for apologies. Go. And do watch our transfer reaction video from Monday with Dave and Joe's response to that one, as well as obviously the one that's happening Thursday night, which is focusing on Kiefer Moore. But yeah, Al Hamadi, I got that. Yeah, I didn't get that.
I call
right
it Al Hamadi. You can say Hamadi. I'll call Hamadi.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he'll confirm at that point.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Do we know if he's back in the country yet? He's not.
I was about to ask you the same question. No, they went out, didn't they? Lost, was it Jordan they lost to in
Tuesday,
Monday?
The day that he signed, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so potentially, I can't see why. They normally keep them around for a day afterwards for a debrief.
Elkin's back, so he
head off. So, yeah, in theory, I can't see why. So I assume he'll be on the bench. I would start Kiefer Moore. Would you not start him? He played in the FA Cup for Bournemouth recently, so he's relatively match fit. I know he's not played in our position, but then saying that, McKenna doesn't tend to throw people in, does he? But is it a case of needs must, you think? You know, when Hurst joined last year and Luongo joined and Broadhead joined, there was very much a bedding in period, wasn't there? But I guess we had Ladapo scoring goals and it wasn't as crucial as it is maybe now. I would personally start him, but equally, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Jackson. What would you do?
I would start Jackson because you kind of raised the point about the land of the giants at the back. Generally, tall defenders are not quick defenders, and I wonder whether there might be an option to get him behind them there, and his pace might help with that.
And I guess you've got Miller playing slightly out of position on the left. Potentially, that's a bit of space that Jackson could exploit as well.
Maybe so. So that's the only thing in my thinking, but given we talked about the threat that Millwall had from crosses, and we know that we're a threat from set pieces, it wouldn't be a surprise if Moore starts, would it? But I think it's a toss of a coin. I think it's it maybe comes down to how McKenna feels on the day, perhaps. But I guess there's anything wrong with Jackson. And then, yeah, you've got starters and finishers now, haven't you, in the striking positions, which we haven't had for about a month or two, so...
Yeah, it's suddenly, having done this deal tonight, the Kiefer Moore deal, suddenly the squad feels in such a better place again, doesn't it? You know, you've got real options off the bench rather than looking and thinking, right, well, Jackson's now knackered at 60 minutes. We're going to have to either give Boabo 15 minutes at the end, or we're going to have to push Broadhead into a position that he's perhaps not overly familiar and overly comfortable with. So it's great to see now we will have some real options on the bench. And like you say, the starters and finishers that became so crucial to us last season and the first half of this season are now back in the building.
Yep, and that is a perfect opportunity for me to go to predictions, but I have to tick in the building off my...
How many is that? Is that three or four?
That's only two of them, because one of them's for me, isn't it? For okay. fluffing my intro. But yeah, let's do some predictions. I feel like I'm making you self-aware with my little sweepy thing, which was meant to be a bit of fun. So I won't.
No, I'm more self-aware with the Giacomo comment. I'm not going to lie. I mean, out of the two things you've said tonight, that's it's definitely not. Johnny Vegas advertises it, for God's sake.
Sorry, if you're shopping at Giacomo, so am I. I'm not. I'm in the same boat. It's a great job that people can see me from the shoulders up. So, you know, I'm not. I thought Giacomo was big and tall, as in. Big and or tall, but anyway, you distracted me, and you're a perfect specimen of man. I don't know what you're worrying about. Let's talk about predictions.
Getting weird now.
It is getting weird. Thank goodness this isn't live, eh? Chris Rand beat us in the predictions. Telegram, doing really well, actually, storming into second place in the league table. Seb, you better watch yourself. Chris and I was audited because I got a score wrong, and that won Chris the week. So congrats for him. And I have done a bit of a retrospective audit on previous weeks.
You wouldn't admit it even if you had, because you know no one else will care enough to have a look. And there's no way you would admit it if it was defining and changed positions. There's no way you'd cop to it.
Of course I would. If anyone wants to audit my spreadsheet, then you're very welcome to do so. Let's talk about the games this week, Seb, because I am struggling to get excited about. There's very few games there that excite me apart from West Brom, Birmingham.
There's a couple of derbies, isn't there? I guess, or kind of derbies.
Anything you want to pick out there and discuss?
No, there's a big game at the bottom, isn't there? Huddersfield against Sheffield Wednesday. Huddersfield having sacked Darren Moore a couple of days ago. You called that back on the show. He was just appointed, wasn't he? The show in September. I remember you saying that you wouldn't be surprised if he went at some point this season. So
didn't
kudos.
Feel like a fit.
No, it didn't, did it? You're right. Yeah, it didn't at all. And obviously, he wasn't overly kind of backed, I don't think, in the transfer window. So, yeah, he's gone. So that's a big game. The mission for Wednesday, you know, improving and picking up points. Other than that, like you say, it's not a real classic week, is it? I guess the sides that we're most interested in, annoyingly, Southampton are away to Rotherham. Rotherham isn't the easiest place to go to at home. But, you've gone for the dropping points. That's interesting. You've gone for a while.
Yeah, so I was chatting with Gab and Ollie on the EFL debate and remembered that, there's a few teams in the top six or top half that have struggled to get wins at Rotherham. And therefore, I'm thinking, well, Rotherham just needs to do what Rotherham do. But obviously, there's a changing of the guard there as well. Maybe it's wishful thinking. I'm trying to manifest it rather than believing it might happen. But stranger things have happened. But Southampton just feel stupidly relentless, don't they, at the moment? But
annoying. I liked your term on the flagship for them to go away and how you said it more politely on Gav's
show. You can say it now.
Piss off Southampton.
Yeah, piss off Southampton with your David Brook signing. But you and Chris both going for the 2-0s there. Stoke, Leicester, it doesn't appear that we have any faith in Stoke to do anything.
We both think Leeds are going to win away at Bristol City. In fact, all of us, me and Chris have gone for clean sheets. I've gone for 2-0. Chris has gone for 1-0. You've gone for a 2-1 lead.
I was really close for going for a 1-1 as well. I kind of felt like Liam Manning's Bristol City are a quite effective team. But it's just Leeds again, relentless too. I've gone for a set of 2-1s in the West Brom, Birmingham, Middlesbrough games, but you're mixing yours up. You're splitting the difference there. You go West Brom, it's difficult to see. Even under Mogga, you're not Mogga back to his old club. You don't think they might sneak something there?
Potentially they could do it. It's the Championship, isn't it? Any game can be bonkers, so to speak. I think Mowbray will get them improved. I think he's a real sensible appointment for them. Stansfield staying, so they've got a bit of kind of security and a bit of certainty in that position. I think they'll improve, but I think West, as we found out, you know, going to the Hawthorns is unless you're Wolves and a Premier League side, going to the Hawthorns is a difficult place to play your football. So I figure West Brom pretty comfortable. I think I said 2-0 on that
decent,
one tonight.
Home form is decent and it is a derby.
Yeah,
they all hate each other up in that part of the world, as we saw last weekend as well. So, you probably back West Brom there. Sunderland, not a happy home life, and you're predicting a draw in that one. But neither Borough can't really get themselves going either. So I'm not surprised you guys have gone for draws there. I just kind of went for home advantage. But neither team really pulling up too many trees in their battle to get into the top six, are they?
That was my logic. I kind of figured the kind of, you know, they're both on pretty poor run of forms. I know Sunderland won last time out, but they've got this underlying current with the manager, haven't they, where they're clearly not happy with the appointment, and that's going to start to filter its way through to the playing squad. I don't think they've signed a striker, have they, as of this time with at Portman Road, they're chanting, you know, we want a striker, unless I'm missing something glaringly obvious. I don't think they've done that much business in the window so far, so their issues are still going to be there up front. That said, I've put them down to score a couple of goals, but I just think both sides, yeah, they're kind of really kind of inconsistent, those two, and therefore logically a draw is probably the easy answer.
Fair enough, yeah. And I think Amad Diallo is with Man United.
He hasn't gone, has he?
Yeah, so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Sunderland do, because obviously Beale has not gone down necessarily particularly well there either. So
moved on to Birmingham, hasn't he, after refusing to play last week, and it's all just up there, isn't it? It's clearly gone not how they wanted it to go, which hopefully means they'll do. There's a third season of Sunderland Till I Die coming soon, which is a happy one. It's only a three-parter focusing on the promotion from League One, so hopefully we might get a fourth season with the Michael Beale appointment, and we can watch it descend into anarchy again.
Nice. There you go. Hello, Sunderland fans. If you want to get your predictions in the chat, please do so. We will. We love comments in the chat. In the YouTube comments. And if you are listening on podcast, why not tweet us, or why not get involved in Telegram and let us know what you're thinking as well. We want to hear from you. And as we said, we'll be back to normal next week. I'm pretty confident we'll be back to normal next Thursday 8 p.m. So you can.
It feels like we've been saying that now for like 6 weeks. It's weird, isn't it? Since Christmas, the schedule goes to pot. Then you have these weird cup games and a real lack of league games in January. Then you've got the window closing. We just need normal kind of service to be resumed, don't we?
Yeah, well, with the window slamming shut, I mean, we've moved because of that. And frankly, I've only done that because I'm in the minority of people who, yeah, find transfer deadline day something that is worthwhile talking about. But no, enjoy that show as well. It'll be great. Craig and Joe will do really good work there. But it's, and I'll probably watch it too. But yeah, once that's done, FA Cup's done, focus on the league, can't we? We'll be back next week to see how both of us and Chris in Telegram. Thank you, Chris.
We haven't discussed our result yet, have we?
We haven't, actually haven't, have we?
Just to stop you before you end the feature.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, host right. With the most. Go on, Seb. Well, you could talk through this because we've all predicted wins. I did spoiler at the start, but we've all got narrow.
Yeah, you and Chris have gone for 2-1 victories for Ipswich. So you think we'll concede a goal? Well, I've gone for a clean sheet. I've gone for a 1-0 based on what I've said about their chance creation and their kind of lack of goal scoring and all that jazz. So are you thinking Will Keane scores against us? But
Will Keane first goal.
Well, as long as we don't boo him, we'll be all right. Do you remember that Portman Road game for Wigan?
Oh, Wigan. I was in the North End for it.
Booing him just before a corner and he scored straight away from it.
I remember chastising people around me for doing it and knowing exactly what would happen. And it kind of it's horrible when these kind of things play out in front of you exactly as you called it. But that was totally predictable and just sums up the mindset of certain supporters, you know. Positiveness. We should be projecting positivity and not caring about who used to play for us in the opposition. But easier said than done, of course. But yeah, narrow wins across the board there. You think we'll keep a clean sheet, do you?
I do. I think the player of the month, George Edmondson, will keep Will Keane pretty quiet. And I think we'll see a debut goal from either Kiefer, Roberto, Francisco Moore, whatever he's called, or Ali Alhamadi. I think one of them might get the winning goal.
There you go. There's a prediction too. Like the working. Given that I've screwed up as host, do you want to do the outro bit for the predictions before we say goodbye?
We will come back next week and see how me, Rich and Chris get on with this amazing feature which everyone enjoys.
You figure out who needs to say goodbye, the final words, because it's backed and forth a little bit. I'll leave you to think about that. Brent mused. I will remind you that we are supported by the Greyhound. Thank you to the Greyhound. Lovely pub, fantastic pub, cracking little pub. Do head there before West Brom. Flagship show back on Sunday, 8 p.m. live. Mikey, Craig and Seb.
We're all going, aren't we? We're all making the trip to the north, aren't we? It's a hat trick of eyes on the game, yeah.
Lovely stuff. Do head to Chorley FC and support all the fun and games that's going on there. You may or may not see members of the Blue Monday team. And as always, leave us a review to give us a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. And do subscribe. Lots of excellent content coming your way, if we do say so ourselves, between now and the end of the season and a dramatic conclusion that we hope. Seb, thank you, as always, for all your hard work and research. Everyone listening or watching, thank you for joining us. And if you made it this far, we appreciate you. Seb, I'll let you tell me what I need to do next.
I think it's me. I think I did Sunderland and we won. And then I did two shows in a row with Ben, Leicester and Maidstone, and we wouldn't have done the sign out because Ben just ends it.
But look what happened when we didn't do the sign out before Maidstone. Or Ben did something different, didn't he? Deviated.
That's why. We did it for Leicester and we got a point at the side top of the table. So I'm not sure your logic is entirely flawless. So I'll carry on with it. So yeah, thank you everybody for listening and watching and giving us thumbs up, etc. Hopefully now the league season can really ramp back up again. Is it 6 games in February, 18 points to play for, starting at Deepdale at 3 p.m. on Saturday? So if you see us at Chorley FC, come and say hello. If you see us in the stand, come and say hello. And hopefully it's the start of, what do we want from this season? At least 12 points from the 18 games, I would suggest. 2 points per game. Keep it going. That'll do for me. Come on, you Blues.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.